Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski in for Joe today here on the program. Nick Kieser as well here with you on this Tuesday morning, talking NFL draft. And to help us do that, we head to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in friend of the show, Nick Baumgartner, who covers the NFL draft at The Athletic. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Nick, it looks pretty clear that the Titans are going to end up taking Cam Ward at number one overall. As you've watched him, as you've studied him, as you've spoken with people, what do you think the Titans are getting in Cam Ward if that's the way that it looks like they go here at number one?
Yeah, I like Cam Ward a lot. It's a tricky evaluation because he hasn't had, you know, a lot of experience against, you know, top-tier teams the way we would see normally with some of these quarterbacks where they, you know, they go through the SEC or the Big Ten or whatever it is and see, you know, really elite defenses. But Cam's story is super unique, right? So I think he's a worker. He's a guy who understands how to improve. He's improved every single year. He's been in college, and I think when you take his entire, you know, story into context, you know, this was a wing T quarterback that had no offers anywhere. Incarnate Word took him, and I don't think they thought he was going to be ready to do anything, and he set records there immediately, you know, showed everyone he could do some things that people didn't realize. And then every year since, it's been, you know, a consistent upward trajectory. So I think that in that sense, you know, when you talk to scouts, I think they all assume, or not assume, but, you know, they are very hopeful that that track of improvement every year will just continue. You know, he's not a true junior or something, but I think if you look at his entire football experience, he's still pretty, you know, young. And I think there's a lot to mold there. And I think that, you know, the ability to jump into a new situation this year at Miami, make plays immediately, be calm. As we know, you know, there's some hiccups here and there that he's got to clean up a lot, actually, you know, as a guy who just doesn't have a ton of experience. But I do think Cam has a natural feel for the game. I think he's a playmaker. I think he'll always maybe be a guy who runs the edge of, you know, maybe being a little bit too risky, but also at the same time, you know, it seems like guys like to rally around him too. So I like him. I like him a lot. I mean, it took a while for me and I think others too to get on board with that train. And I'm not sure I would have him as the, you know, the number one player on my board or even in the top 10 of that, but he's definitely in the top 15. And I think that if you're going to take a quarterback up there, it's absolutely Cam Ward.
Do you have any sense of his lower body mechanics and how, what kind of concerns there are there? That's something I've heard about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those are significant. And I think that that's the biggest thing that we're looking at here. When you look at how he plays, you know, it's all very loose and, you know, kind of free and open, which, you know, allows him to make plays very quickly sometimes. But also, you know, he got away with a lot of stuff in college with his feet. You know, he's not a guy who, you know, takes your, you know, snaps the ball and immediately bangs into a three-step drop, comes up on the hitch and throws the ball. It's a lot of sort of at his own pace, his own feel with the receivers and timing. We saw that a lot. And that works, you know, to a degree in college, and it won't, you know, in the NFL. It's not a uncommon problem, but I think when we're talking about, you know, a guy like this who's, like we said earlier, like he's never really had to be in a huge fire of a game where it's like, man, you can't do this. You can't just freelance on every player, roll out of a sack or whatever it is because you think you're more athletic to do it. So that's the big thing. But I think the thing that everybody goes back to is because normally when you say, okay, the guy's got bad feet or he's not, you know, not on his footwork at all, especially if he's an older quarterback, you just kind of say, well, maybe that's just who he is and he's never going to get there. But with Cam, I think that that's, you know, probably not fair. I think that he has improved at something pretty significantly almost every year, whether it be, you know, mechanics with throwing the ball, reading defense, processing, all that sort of thing. And the last thing to come there, obviously, is going to be his feet, you know, getting in time and rhythm with the offense. So it's going to have to be a lot of coaching there. They're going to have to a lot of patience, a lot of coaching, and really, you know, just kind of hammering down on, you know, the things you cannot get away with at this level. And I think everybody from Caleb Williams to Bryce Young and every other young quarterback that's come out would say similar, as they've all had to kind of go through similar things, maybe not as severe. I think Cam's is maybe a little bit more work there.
So, Nick, you know, obviously, if you're a Titans fan looking at this, you expect Cam Ward to go number one overall. And then the question becomes, what are you going to do at number 35 in the second round? And frankly, the Titans need just about everything on their roster. So there's a lot of need that they have. Right. I want to ask you specifically about receiver. When you get toward the latter part of the first round and into the early part of the second round in terms of your projections moving ahead here, what do you make of the receiver position, the quality of what the Titans and other teams could find there, and some guys maybe that stand out in that area that could be there?
Yeah, I think Tennessee is actually in a good spot there at the top of the second. You know, it's going to be an interesting year to see where these guys fall. It's not the deepest receiver class we've seen. You know, it's not like some of the ones we've seen in recent years. It's not bad, but it's kind of like in the middle. You know what I mean? But I do think that if you're at the top of the second round there, you know, after, you know, Tet McMillan, Egbuka, Matthew Golden, I think those guys are all pretty much, after Travis Hunter, of course, too, I think those guys are pretty much all locks to be first-round picks. But I think also, like, if you're at the top of the second, you could end up looking at Luther Burden, the kid from Mizzou, who did not have a great year last year. I think a lot of that was based on the quarterback and the offense just not really being great there at Missouri. But he is a difference maker with the ball in his hands. You know, a guy who it was a huge yards after catch guy his entire career there in college. Jalen Noel, the kid from Iowa State, I love him, and his teammate Jaden Higgins. I think both of those guys are ready to go pretty much immediately. And then that's, you know, and again, if you can get a guy like Golden to slip or Egbuka to slip, and the other thing, too, I would wonder about is if you want to trade up, you know, if you're Tennessee, if you think that if Emeka Egbuka is slipping down there into the 20s or, you know, late 20s even, and you're at 35 and you say, okay, well, you know, what does Cam Ward need to be successful? Number one, he needs to be protected. But number two, he needs, you know, a best friend type wide receiver who can just get open all the time. And I think that it would be smart to, you know, not take a look and see if Egbuka's fallen, go get him. I mean, he's the most quarterback-friendly receiver in this class. And the other guys I mentioned, too, would pretty much tick off the box for the same thing. Luther Burden, some people have him as a first-round talent. I think some people will have Jalen Noel right on the fringe in this draft, too. So they're in really good shape there to get, you know, a friendly target, we'll say, for a young quarterback who's going to need all the help he can get there.
You've done a deep dive in the recent past on Jordan Palmer and his work with Kyle McCord. Yeah. I'm wondering, out of your familiarity with Jordan Palmer, if you could give us a sense of what you think Will Levis is getting out of a couple months of work with Jordan Palmer.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I wish Will Levis had started this 2 years ago or 3 years ago with Jordan. But I think the biggest thing that he does, and we just talked about it with Cam with the footwork stuff, right? The one thing that I learned from him is it's everything is about staying grounded, keeping your feet in the ground, and making sure that you're sort of attached to the ground before you throw. You can't just be off balance and just sort of wobbly and chuck it without your whole body. And I think a lot of the work that he does, you know, the first couple weeks when he gets a new person in there, they don't even touch a football. It's just, you know, footwork stuff. I mean, he worked for months on Kyle McCord's shotgun stance, you know, a matter of getting your feet so that your, you know, your first step is one that is productive rather than something that you have to recover from. And I think that's a lot of what, you know, he teaches, a lot of the, you know, no throws anymore. I mean, very rarely are you making a throw completely on platform without anybody touching you. You've got to move around, obviously, and you've got to have the ability to do that, but you've got to also have the ability to make sure that, you know, your foot's loaded, you're in the ground, and you're making sure that, you know, your next move after that is something that, you know, is going to be productive to the rotation, you know, on the top of everything else. But I do think it's a ground up thing with Jordan. I think that's always been the bag on Levis, even when he was at Kentucky. It was just elite arm talent, really good athlete, just wobbly everything else. The technique was just all over the place. And I think with Palmer, it really starts from the snap. I mean, he goes from every step that you're going to take and every possible, you know, drop. So that's one where I wish it started a couple of years ago, quite frankly. But I do think that that's a smart move on Levis's part to go seek him out.
Nick, as you look at running back here, like everybody's looking at the top with Jenty, obviously, and he's an unbelievable talent. How deep do you think this class is at running back? You know, we've been asked about Scadaboo, you know, obviously Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee here. Like it feels to me that this is a very deep class at that spot. How do you view running back this year in the draft?
Yeah, it's outstanding. It might be the deepest class or the deepest group of any, you know, position group in the draft this year. I think last year there was 20 running backs taken, somewhere like that. I think this year I would not be surprised if it's 30 or more, which I think would be pretty close to the record, if not, you know, in the last 15 years anyway, it would be up there with matching any of those classes. I think that, and the other part of it too is, you know, there's a good 20 guys in here who can help a team tomorrow, you know, that in some way, shape, or form. Be it, you know, we talk about guys like Jeanty and and Omarion Hampton and Caleb Johnson, Trayvon Henderson. These are guys that can come in and probably be your one, 1A or just your solo one. But there's guys in there. You mentioned Scadaboo, Damian Martinez, a kid from Miami, RJ Harvey from UCF, UCF there, Jordan James from Oregon. These are guys, Trevor Etienne, Etienne's brother there at Georgia. These are all guys I think that can also come in right away, and you could get them maybe third, fourth round. I think there's going to be players even in the fifth round this year that you know you can draft and say, hey, we can put him in, and he can do some things right now. It won't be just like a surprise or added bonus if this kid comes in here and helps us out. I think it's a really, really good year to need a running back, and almost even if you don't need one like right away, if you're thinking, you know, if you've got like an older guy that maybe is going to come off the roster here in a year or two, like this would be a good year to sort of go ahead and say, hey, these are playmakers. These are guys that can handle a load. A lot of them are super, super productive, you know, across the board. A lot of these guys, like Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, was one of the best players at the Shrine Bowl from Arizona there. And he's probably a fifth round pick in this draft. In a lot of other drafts, he'd be a second or third round guy. You know, I think that's the situation here with running back. The one interesting thing though is, you know, you don't know where the run's going to start. So a lot of teams have talked about, you know, maybe we wait, but you don't want to wait too long, because if there's a run on these guys and they all start going, then, you know, we're going to be out of luck.
Can you compare and contrast, obviously, some great tight ends in this draft? Up at the top, you've got Warren and Loveland. What are the biggest differences and similarities between the two of them?
Yeah, they're both really fun players. I think Warren is the better physical, you know, athlete from a power presence. I mean, I think he has the highest potential of any of these guys from a blocking standpoint, like the potential to be a possible dominant blocker. When you look at him, I mean, he's just a fridge on wheels out there. He reminds me a lot of Dallas Clark, the old Iowa tight end that played there forever with the Colts and Peyton Manning. You know, a guy that is a true three-down weapon. Loveland, I think, is a better route runner. But Warren, anyway, I think is a true, you know, three-down weapon. You don't have to ever have to take him off the field. And I think in time he can become a guy who's, you know, a true asset in the run game, sort of a way maybe a George Kittle is or something like that. And then just kind of a safety net, you know, receiver. I don't think he's ever going to put up 98 catches like he did in college there for a team, but I think he's always going to be a pretty sturdy, you know, number one that, you know, it's going to be hard to find anybody that's doing more at that position than him. But and then Loveland, and this is close. I mean, these guys are, it's 1A and 1B, and it goes back and forth a lot of times, because Loveland is easily the best route runner in this tight end group, and he's up there with some of these wide receivers. I mean, this guy can run any route, from pretty much anywhere. He worked a lot in the slot. He worked outside at Michigan. He was also a very willing blocker. Not as good as Warren, I don't think, but he was still a guy that wasn't afraid to mix it up. He reminds me a lot of Sam Laporta here in Detroit, maybe a little bit taller version of Laporta. He's another guy who can get the ball out in space and then make plays after the catch. You know, he doesn't always fall down the minute he catches it type thing. So these are different dudes here. Mason Taylor, another one there from LSU, Jason Taylor's son. Just an outstanding athlete. There's five or six guys, again, in this class, maybe seven or eight, actually, who are really, really good players who can do a lot of things for a team.
Well, Nick, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time, as always. Thanks for being with us this morning. And we're just a few weeks away from the draft here. We'll have fun.
Oh, yeah.
Have fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Take care, fellas.
Absolutely. Nick Baumgartner, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Roll. We'll react to what Nick had to say. Take your thoughts on the NFL draft coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.